And this week is Parashas Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So I didn't prepare all that much. After a tinus, it's very hard for me to prepare. Very tired. So let me just share with you a few little ideas about this week's Parashah that caught my attention from the Sefer called Das Konisa. He has a number of chapters. What? Gibbs. Rabbi Gibbs. 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 Rav Yitzchok Zalman Gibbs, G-I-B-B-S. Gimel Yud Pei Samach. Gibbs? You gotta bring him down. We'll test him on his name. Any event, he has here a few chapters, a few sections. I ran through this very quickly, so let me just tell you a few little things that come in. The first topic is Eliyahu Hanavi. Everyone knows this is part Pinchas. Ze Eliyahu, where does that come from? If someone will challenge you, where's the source? Pinchas, Ze Eliyahu. But Asati lo yisbrisi shalom, I'm going to give him the bris of shalom. Hine anochi shalech lechem eis Eliyahu hanavi lifnei bo yoyim Hashem. The heishiv lev avos albanim lev banim alvoyslam. He's going to make peace between the generations, between the older generation, the younger generation. Where do we know that Pinchas Zelio, it's the Targum Yoinason Ben Uziel on the first Pasuk of this week's Parsha? What does it say? It says, Ano Gazar on the Pasuk, Hinani Noisein Lois Brisi Shalom, Ano Gazar Le Yos Kamei Kamei Shalem, Ve Avidna Malach Kayom, Ve Chayei Le Olmo, Le Mishra Gumulto Besoif Yoimaya. I was Goizer before me. I was Goizer Kaimi. Shalem, he interprets to mean that he's going to be a malach. Shalem is another word for an angel. Hashem says, I made a gzera that Pinchas will be Yos Kaimi. He will be before me an angel. I will transform this human being, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, into a malach. A malach Elokim that is free from the guf, that's able to travel and do all of these miraculous things. And he will live forever. And he will bring Lemishra, he will bring the Geula, he will reveal the Geula at the end of days. So this is, the source comes from this Targum Yonasim and Azil, that Pinchas Zeh Eliyahu. So let's talk a little bit earlier now. Over here I saw Yazavi, a very fascinating Chassam Sofer. Never heard this, never saw this, very interesting idea. He learns that Pinchas, what is he going to live forever? There's no such thing as living forever. Hashem gives every creature in this world a certain amount of time. So what do you mean he'll live forever? So he connects this, let's see, he asks the question, what about Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu 120 years in this world. That's the max. Why is 120 years, by the way, why is that the max? First, it's not necessarily the max. Okay, it's not necessarily the max. We brainwash thing that that's not true. A person can live longer than 120 years. And the proof is there are people out there who do live. We know for a fact. People on record have lived more than 120 in recent times, modern times. 120 years is not. It comes from the idea that 120 years is a 50th of 6,000. 6,000 divided by 50 equals 150. Correct, Mr. Moose? 120. 120 years. May of Yeshem Shana. 6,000 divided by 50 is 120. 50 is Yovel. Yovel is called Le'olam. Right? Yovel is Le'olam Bohem Yavoidu. The Eved Ivri shall be a slave. Le'olam. Avodol Olam, forever. Olam normally means forever. It means the max. It doesn't mean forever. The slave doesn't mean, it means until Yovel. A synonym of forever, or forever is not a really good word. That's a word that we invented in English. And we put that into the word Olam. Olam basically means the maximum amount of time. If you got lucky that this guy said, I want to be I want to stay for forever by you, and it's the beginning of Yovel, he'll be with you for 50 years. Va'avodoy lo'olam. He'll be for you. Yovel represents what?
Why do you say it doesn't mean? I mean, it certainly doesn't mean.
All right, I take it back. It depends on the context. But Yovel is described, this you cannot deny, is described with the term of Lo'olam. 50 years is Lo'olam. The number 50 represents, now Lo'olam also captures the theme of a maximum amount of time in regard to a certain, in a certain dimension. It's a maximum. Therefore, since 50 does represent the most you can expect to have in a certain dimension, the world was created, was according to our tradition, the world is only supposed to last for 6,000 years. Hashem only gave us a warranty, bumper to bumper, on this world, on earth, for 6,000 years. After 6,000 years, if the world goes, global warming takes over the world, listen, there's no warranty, outside your warranty after 6,000 years. The world has a bumper-to-bumper warranty for 6,000 years. That's it, according to our tradition. And what is 6,000 divided by 50? 6,000 by the periods of Le'olam, 120. Thus, number 120 is an expression which we use to represent you can't complain. If you made it to 120, you can't say you were denied. You can live more than 120. You get a bonus. You know, you buy a car, you only have a warranty for 100,000 miles, and it goes for 300,000 miles. Good for you. No one's complaining. But until 100,000 miles, you know, you can take it to the dealer. You know, I have a warranty. You got to fix it for free. So if a person is able to make it to 120 years, you made it. You want to get more, gesundheit, you get more. But 120, the hayu yomav, mea the esrim. Where does that come from? I once saw it comes from the ideas, because since the world is 6,000, and the most you can expect in the 50 represents the concept of the yovel, so you divide up 6,000 into units of 50 units, you come away with periods of time of 120 years, so therefore that's a fair amount of time. So now the question over here is, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's now 120 years, and he's complaining bitterly to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't want to die, I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem says, Moshe, you're out of the warranty. I put you here in this world, signed documents, you got a $100,000 warranty. I'm sorry, you're out of the warranty. What do you want from me? What are you coming and have kindness on me? Why should I have to die? What? So they got a bonus. So they got, but you can't complain about it. Hashem gives it to you, wonderful, but you can't complain.
He wanted another 40 days.
Moshe, Aaron lived 123. What, 123? And Miriam?
127.
127. Wow, like Sarah. Okay, so they got a bonus. So, but they didn't go. Moshe got to 120. He's complaining. Hashem should say, Moshe,
he deserves 80 days. He spent,
you don't deserve it. You're out of warranty. You don't.
He was out of the system for 80 days.
You don't. So the answer is, here is the answer. This is a very, very spooky, mystical thing. Okay, it's not to be taken. Not for us, not taken literally, but this is Chazal saying, you hear this said, is that Rachmana Litzlan, we don't know how these things are time, we don't know how time. Time has substance. We don't understand these things. This is a very, very, very difficult thing to comprehend. Time has substance. Let's say Rachmana Litzlan, Hashem has to take a human being before his time. For whatever reason, we have no understanding why that has to be. So there are, it's like a roam, what is called in the self roaming. Roaming minutes?
Good.
They still do that today?
Not really.
Roaming, it's something else. It carries on. I'm thinking something else. Carries over. If you don't use up, a person comes into this world, you have 120 years, and you don't use them all up, you only live to the age of 100, and you got 20 years left to go, and for some reason Hashem takes this person 20 years too early, what happens to those 20 years? What, it's just gone? The company just takes it for themselves? They profit? No. It was paid for. Someone has to be nene for those 20 years. Hashem granted life on this world. Every person that comes into this world, it's an amazing concept. With the birth of a human being comes a gift of 120 years. If this human being does not use those 120 years, someone else will get it. That extra time has to be spent on someone else. Who gets it? Who gets those extras, the leftover, when a person has to do before their time? So Chazal says it goes to a person who is Mavir al Midoisav. Why that? I don't know. A person who was Mavir, someone he was angered, someone upset him, and he was Mavir al Midoisav, he is Zoicha to get the bonus years that were left over by people who unfortunately had to leave this world before their time. Now get a load of this. This is what the Chassam Sofer says. This is totally shocking. Some making calculations that are really, and get someone who's very mathematical, maybe you can make some very, very insightful calculations. So a good topic for a nice article. The Meisei Midbar. How many people died in the Midbar? 600,000 men over the age of 20. How old were they? All different ages. Some were close to, some were older, some were younger. Everyone was a different age. All of those people were meant to live for 220 years old. Some of them could have been already 80 years old. Some of them could have been 6, some were 20 years old. They all died during the 40 years of the Midbar. During the 38 years of the Midbar, they all died. They left over years. How many years? So you can make calculations. Probably tens of thousands of years. Maybe even hundreds of thousands of years. I don't know. Make a calculation of 600 to 100,000. Obviously, maybe millions. Millions of years. Okay, millions, because 600,000 people figure out their age until the social 120 years. Who got all those extra years? Who got that? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, give me at least some of them. Am I not entitled? Am I not entitled? You're right. I'm out of warranty. You're right. So I can't complain for myself. But Rebbeinu Shel Olam, a stockpile of hundreds of millions of years that were left over by the Meisei Midbar. This is Chassam Sofer says this. It's shocking. And therefore, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, okay, I'm not asking for me. I'm asking to take from them, from the stockpile. Hashem says to Moshe, I only give it to people that are Mavir al Midoisav. You hit the rock. You were told to speak to the rock. You were not Mavir al Midoisav. You got angry. You got angry and you hit the rock. And that was part of the problem. Moshe got angry. How come the rock is not producing, is not giving forth water? He got angry, he hit the rock. Hitting the rock shows that you're not in control of your emotions. You're not in control of your emotions. You do not qualify as being Mavir al Midoisav. Memela, you're not getting the extra years. Is that a shocking statement? The whole the sheet of the Chassam Sofer. Read the words over here. Omnam kevan sh'amar Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom shamu shimuno hamoirim. No, I told him that. Shimuno hamoirim. I made a mistake. I don't know why I thought that. I'm sure it all goes all together. He calls them Shimno Hamar. I mean, Asel Hazeh Noitzi Lechem Moyin. That was all part of the. He called them Moyrim. Vayhevral Midoisav Memele Lekiblu Oisam Shonim. Now here's the incredible chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. So where did those years go? Who got them? Pinchas got them. Why? So Chassam Sofer says Pinchas was no different than Korach. Pinchas had the same arousement, the same complaints as Korach. Only Aaron gets to be the Kohen Gadol. I'm just as qualified as Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol. I'm from the same Korach. Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron a Kohen. Korach was also a cousin, the same Yichus, the Zelbe Yichus. And they both were rivals to be the Kohen Gadol. Why does Elozer get it? Why don't I have a chelech? V'yesh l'chayisif shepinchas ochein b'emes hevra al midoisav sh'arei gam hu hoya yochol la'asoyz k'moy koirach. This is Hassan Sefer's words. V'litoin lomo lo'y eske l'kuhuna v'lomo shor b'nei ovi Elozer yisku l'yoyz koyhanim. Why are my cousins and my father, my relatives, did get kuhuna v'ani lo'y yeli chelech b'kuhuna? Omnam lo hisroim, he did not complain. Vlo also machloikis ulechei nechshav mavir al midoisav v'zocha larichas yamim. He's a kohen. Brisi shalom, and the brisi shalom that kohen is like posi. Anyway, we've been a kohen. I don't know that. I don't know. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a kohen. So he was.
Until now, he wasn't. wasn't officially appointed. So
this is a new appointment. It was not meant to be from him. That he would not all go to Elazar. He would not go necessarily. Okay, fine, fine. Okay. That's a different type of discussion. That he also the bracha of kahuna. But in addition to the that he got the kud for not complaining, he also got the stockpile of years. That's why he lives le'olam. Now, how many years does he already need? I mean, the world's only going to exist until whatever, 6,000, whatever that means. So they have millions and millions of years, right? That was stockpiled, left over. So where do those years go to? Okay, it's a thought. Obviously, you need to iron this out a little bit more, but it's a very novel idea. Very fascinating, novel idea to explain this idea of the midos that they're left over. Like they always say about the levaya of a tzaddik. It hurts about Rav Pam's levaya, and I still keep on hearing this. People keep saying this over. So it made a very big impression on people is that when a tzaddik dies, his midos are hefker. When he leaves this world, his good qualities are hefker. Anyone who wants to take the midos will have siyata deshmaya in acquiring those midos. Although it may take a person a lifetime to achieve those midos on his own, if you connect yourself to a tzaddik, you're able to take those midos. This idea of transference is a very mystical idea, and that's what the Chassam Sefer says. Okay, now another idea about Eliyahu, a few more short ideas. I was just throwing out a question. I don't know. Yeah.
What happened to the idea of granted 70 years when
we're born? Shivim shana. V'im b'gvuroi shmoinim shana. A gvuros. How do you reconcile 70, 80 with the hayu yomav meyav eshim? I don't know the answer. Different dimensions.
Life doesn't start until 50.
Different dimensions. I don't know. These are very mystical things. No one knows. Look, it's no fun to be 120 years old.
It's no fun.
What?
Wait till you get.
Make me healthy, I'll be fine.
You look at people 120 years old. You makana them?
Yes.
You makana them?
Absolutely.
All right, maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. Maybe you're right. What? I watched online a man, I think he's from Vietnam. I think he was 100. I think he's still alive. 116 years old. 116 years old. He lives in Vietnam. He's hard of hearing. With a hearing aid, he can hear good enough. He's hard of hearing. He walks around the street, does his business like anyone else you know who's healthy, and 116 years old. Documented, proven. So they spoke to him. What's the secret to long life? Patience. He said patience. Just be, don't ever get worked up about anything in life. What?
That's my
yeah, maybe that's what it means. He said patience. Things don't always go your way in Shidduchim, in Parnasa. Be patient. Patient. You just be patient. Everything comes in the right time. This guy, a guy, doesn't know from anything. I don't even know he's any religious. Who knows? And I look at him, you know, am I becoming him? He doesn't make an impression. He doesn't seem very impressed. What does he do the whole day? He says he watches television. He says his hard of hearing. So he just, I don't know. It's interesting. I once went to Levi. I read Rav Kahana. They said, I don't know what they said about him. They said about a certain Zokin. He said the taka that old age is the greatest tainuk. Why? You don't have any taivas to do anything, do averis. He says, at that age, there's no taiva for noshim. I don't know why you say that. Why you say there's no taiva for noshim in old age? People, they say there is taiva for noshim in old age. I don't know why you say that. And there's no taiva to food, macholos asurois. You have no distractions. When you're old age, you can do avoidas Hashem without any distractions. So therefore, it's very easy. Therefore, there's a very great timing in old age. That's an approach. Okay, whatever it is. Be that as it may. Let's go further. So over here, this idea of taking age. Now let's discuss another topic. I don't have any answer. I just want to point this out. Okay, because you learned Daf Yomi. Many of you here learned Daf Yomi, and they come to the Gemara. The Gemara comes to a conclusion. The Gemara says teku. So what are we all? We're all brainwashed in translating that word in Tishbi Yitaretz Kushyos Va'abayos. The answer is unresolved. There is no answer. We'll wait until Mashiach comes. Eliyahu Navi will come. He Tishvi. Tishvi is one name for Mashiach. He will yitaretz in the future tense. He will answer the kushyos v'abayos. So first you have to know, some say that this expression is make-believe. This expression, someone made it up, and it's absolutely no, it's not true. Whoever said that Mashiach will answer all of our questions? Some questions are not meant to be answered. And also, Ketishvi HaTorah La Bashamayim. Torah is not Bashamayim. Torah is here for the human beings. And the Tishvi Melech HaMashiach, Eliyahu is a Malach Elokim. He's a spiritual being. He's a spiritual being, Eliyahu, Tishvi. You want to say they'll be reincarnated into a guf and a tremendous chokhmah? We don't need him. Hashem gave Torah, Torah lav b'shamayim. Torah was given to make the decisions by human beings, not by malachim and shemayim. The halacha follows man. So what exactly does it mean? So this idea that Tishbi Yitaritz Kushis v'habayis has been challenged by many Gedolei Yisrael. Both, first of all, whoever invented this Rosh Tevos, who says it has any validity? And number two, even if it is real, what does that mean exactly? That goes against Yadus. Yadus is Torah Lava Shemaimi. Furthermore, it goes against the simple translation of the word. The simple translation of the word teku means let the question stand, which basically means there is no answer and there should be no answer.
Don't you feel that when you look at a teku many times that there is an answer?
No. That's not necessarily correct. Now you also have to be mevarer.
Rabbi Temple used to say in Shir, "Vidu es klerim kadoflus es kavis." In other words, you're never going to find an answer. It's not.
First of all, you also have to divide. You have to differentiate between there's a question sometimes to clarify the mitzius, the reality. Sometimes we do not know the science. We have a question, and the question is rooted in nature, in science, or just a matter of what happened. Let's get the facts straight. Is there a way that we can go back in time and we can record exactly how we got here, and that way we can know exactly what happened? So when you have a question that does not revolve around logic in weighing different arguments, it's a question of just knowing the reality, knowing what happened, knowing the science behind the issue at hand, that is possibly what is a situation where we can have Tishbi, which doesn't necessarily mean we need Tishbi from the koyach of logic. It means he will be able to reveal secrets in history, in events, a sequence of events, or explain to us the sciences, the natural phenomenon that exists in this world, and with that, those pieces of information, then the Rabbanon living in this world will be able to make a halachic decision. So Tishvi is not coming to give us arguments, logical arguments, because that does not depend on spiritual beings. That depends on the Rabbanon of the generation with the koichos that Hashem has given them, Torah Labashon. They will make this decision based upon what they know. Tishvi basically means the NSA. The NSA will come and they will play for you. They'll show you a drone in a satellite of what exactly happened on this day, on this time, or they'll play back for you a record of a conversation between these two people. Oh, now we know the facts. So now we will be able to make a halachic decision. Because the word teku in itself means let the question stand, which means, and in this interpretation, is there are certain things in halacha, adrabba v'adrabba. There are no two people who think alike. No two people who look alike. Just like there are no two people in the whole entire world, from the beginning of creation to the end of creation, that look exactly the same. They have different features, an amazing phenomenon. How many billions of people have existed since creation until now? Has anyone made a calculation? There must be 100, maybe a trillion, maybe even more. I don't know what the calculation is. If there are now 7, 8 billion people living in this world at this moment in time, and this world is 5,777 years. What?
True.
What's not true?
I think the current population is larger than all of the
whatever it is. Whatever it is. So then go back from the beginning of creation until now and tell me how many human beings have lived. And scientists will agree that not even one of these two human beings look alike. How could that be? There are not even two people from the beginning of time until the end of time. There are so many different variables in the human face that you can have so many variations. It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. And Chazal said, the same way it's true when you look at a person, no one thinks alike. No two people. You have an argument. Okay, you have an argument. Should we do it like this? Are you allowed to say amen? Do you make this on licorice? Do you make a shahakol or do you make a mezonos? They've been arguing about this since I was born, before I was born. Since the earliest time someone put in my hand a piece of licorice until today, I still... All the debate is the flour a binder? Is the flour actually substance? No two people think alike. No two people will have the same argument. So therefore, adrabah v'adrabah, teku. We have a dilemma in halacha. Should we follow this? Should we follow this? There are certain areas in halacha, adrabah, teku. Let the question stand. Let there be an argument, an approach this way, an approach this way, an approach that way, because that's how it is. If we can accommodate many different approaches, so be it. Sometimes in halacha you can't. Sometimes you have to come to a conclusion. There has to be a decision has to be made. When there's a conflict, there's a conflict. You have to make a decision. Someone has to decide. But there are areas of halacha where you don't have to decide. So you do it your way. You do it your way. You do it your way, and you'll all be happy. So you have to understand the word teiku melech mashiach. Tishbi Yitaritz Kushus Yabayos is a direct contradiction to the actual meaning of the word teku. Teku literally means let the question stand. And that's the ikar. And Tishbi Yitaritz is questionable where it came from. And unfortunately, we live in a world where we're always going backwards. Everyone's telling you Tishbi Yitaritz when the ikar translation is let the question stand. Okay, now next thing interesting is that we call the Leo a very unusual way to refer to Leo. We refer to human beings who have passed from this world. We call them Olav Hashem. The greatest bracha you give a person is Ayin Hey. Olav Hashalom. Why is that the greatest compliment to a person? Because that's how Chazal referred to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, Olav Hashalom. I never ever saw anywhere, in any Sefer, any Medrash, where it's Avram Avinu, Zecher Tzadik Levracha L'chai Ha'olam Haba. Hashem, even though he didn't die, I never saw that Avraham Avinu. I just saw Avraham Avinu, all of Hashalom, Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Hashalom. You never saw Hagoyin Hagodol, Rashna Bahag, Moshe Rabbeinu, Zechet Sar Kosh, Levrach, Lechai, Ha'olam Abba, with more letters. I don't even know what these things mean. You never saw this, right? Olav Hashem. Today, if you write about a person, Ruvain ben Shimon, Olav Hashalom, you know what they think in their mind? Am Haaretz. Ayin Hey. Ruvain ben Shimon, the Am Haaretz. He wasn't Zeicher to Zal, Zechoyne Levracha, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Zecher Tzadik the Kaddish Levracha, even though that is mamish and a terrible abuse, an insult. To write about a person, I don't know, I'm missing the boat. To write about a person, any Rosh Shiva, Zechet Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, when they didn't die, Al-Kiddush Hashem, to me is an total insult to the people who died Al-Kiddush Hashem. The word Kadosh is clear in Chazal, is used for someone who died Al-Kiddush Hashem. To say about a person who's a very holy person, I'm not denying they're holy people, but you didn't die Al-Kiddush Hashem, you don't say the word Kadosh. Zechet Tzadik Levracha, that's enough. You have to say Zechet Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, even though you knew Kotor Akuma. I'm missing the boat. In any event, the Olav HaShalom was good enough for Avraham, it's good enough for us, and certainly it's the biggest bracha, because Shalom is the Shem Hashem. He's saying that he should be with Hashem. Olav upon him should be Shalom. Hashem should be with him. When you say Zeichel Levracha, what are you saying? He should, remembrance for blessing. So you're not even saying anything significant. There's no substance in saying Zeichel Levracha. There's no substance. Zeichel Tzadik Levracha. When you say Olav HaShalom, that's a powerful, you're saying Hashem's name is Shalom. Listen, that's the truth, but to do this today, you'll be shot down, because that's not the Minig Olam. Minig Olam is, so don't quote me on this one. The Minig Olam is to say Zeichel Levracha, Zeichel Tzadik Levracha, that's what I do.
According to the
Yisrael, yeah.
That term of Zeichel Levracha originated with the story of Hanukkah, because the people that died with slumim around them, they didn't know. That's like the Kelmullis says, when you're making Kelmullis, so you don't know when you're Zeichel Levracha, because you don't know when he died, did he convert before he died or not. So they said, please remember him for the good. Maybe he was forced or whatever it is. But that was the origin of that whole thought process.
Okay.
Maybe somebody turned to the dark side before he died and remembered for him for all the good that he did.
Interesting idea. But today, that's not a good thing to say. That's not a nice thing to say.
That's what it is. Somebody who might have converted to the dark side before he died. And,
so you're saying about a person, Zecher Levracha, who were Choshev. The Rosh Hashiva.
That's where the origin of it.
Now, the point I want to make is we have a very unique expression that we don't use by anyone, not even by the big Rosh Yeshiva. When you utter Eliyahu, it is the customary to say, but Eliyahu Hanavi, Zohar Latoiv. You don't say Olav HaShalom. You don't say Zechet Secha Livracha, Zechet Sag Livracha. Unique. You don't say this with anyone. Eliyahu Hanavi Zohar Latov. May he be remembered for good. What is that all about? What's going on over here? Zohar Latov? What is that? Oh, the dark side? No, I'm going to say that. So the simple explanation is, this is something which the Mepharshim, they struggle. They struggle. And by the way, where does it come from to some degree? I think it comes from the Megillah. Not the Megillah, the Piyot. The Gam Charvoino Zohar Latov. Who was Charvoino? Chazal, it's a Gemara. The Gemara Megillah. I think it's a Gemara, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
It's the Eliyahu. Eliyahu appeared in the guise of Charvoina. And Gam, Hineho Eitz, Asher Oso Haman, Lemordechai, Hineho Eitz, Samel, he said, go hang him up. So because he came in just at the right moment, the Gam Charvoina Zohar Latoif. How does that define? I don't really figure out how. What Charvoina did fits in the deep meaning of Latoiv. The simple explanation is it comes from the Isha, not the Shunamis. Who was the Isha? There were two women that were Trias HaMeisim, two children. One was Elio, one was Elisha. Elio and Elisha. No, Elio. Elio was Mechayim Meisim. So Elio, it says there that he went. Why did he come and save them? Elisha was both. It was first Elio, then Elisha. The same thing, Chazal said. But what happened there with the mice with Elisha and Elio? I think I don't remember the story. I'm a little confused. But the mice there was either one or the other, and Chazal, whatever happened to one happened to the other, where Eliyahu or Elisha would frequent this woman, and she would and she made for him a mita, a shulchan, and a ner, and then she had a baby, and the baby died. And she complained to him, and then when the baby died, she said to him, the reason why the baby died, I'm getting a little bit wrong, but the idea is somewhere between the lines, is she said to him, until now, it was just me. So I'm a tzaddik, relative to my neighbors, they're all regular people, I'm a good person, so therefore there's no din. When you come to visit me, every single once in a while you come, you visit me, so then Hashem looks at you, you're sitting in the house, you're in one room, I'm in the other room, Hashem sees you, you're such a great, great tzaddik, there are such high standards. And when then Hashem looks next door, who's sitting next door, it's me'oirer, it arouses midas hadin. When Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he's such a good person, Eliyahu HaNavi, he does such good for Klal Yisrael, there's Hashem is medatek b'svivav kichut hasara. So when he comes to visit us, Hashem looks at us, you're nothing. You're nothing, connected Eliyahu. So when he comes with Zohor Lara, and that's exactly what the Isha Hashunamis said to Elisha, to Eliyahu, well, you know why I have this trouble? It's because of you. Because you come here, and Hashem said like a good stone with Lot. Lot said this to the Malachim, I can't go to Tzoyar because until now I was. I'm going to be. Whatever the story there will take us. But Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Unfortunately, relative to him, we're no good. So we will now be membered in Shamayim Lara. So therefore, we want Eliyahu HaNavi to come, but we don't want it to be that we should be judged relative to Eliyahu HaNavi. We want it should be Zohar Latoif. Okay, that's what it says. That's where we find the Leo, the Isha Hashunam, she actually made this point to him. So therefore we extract that idea out of what it says in Navi, in Malachim, and we apply it to us. We want Eliyahu HaNavi to come, but his coming should not result in making for us more problems. Sometimes when you solve one problem, you open up a whole new world. You do programming and computers, that's always a disaster. It's always, always, without fail. You ever have a bug? I used to program. This is Mr. Bloom will back me up, right? When you do programming and you get a complaint from one of the people, the client, one of the users, this is not working, I'm getting an error, it doesn't work. Okay, I'm Superman, I come to the rescue. You log in, fix the bug. Wow, now it really works. You get a call 10 minutes later. Very good, it works. And now you know what else? Now what doesn't work? I got another 20 things that don't work because of what you fixed. This is the Metzius. The Metzius. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come to solve our problems, right? Everyone has a list of problems. If only you can come and solve this problem. We don't realize when we solve one problem, you know how many new problems we open up. The reason why we have that problem because that problem is a plug on another 20 problems. And when you take away yourself that problem, wow, you have just opened up the floodgates of another 20 problems. Another 20 problems. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You think if only they can have this. And then when they get it, it's just the beginning of all their problems. So we want Eliyahu HaNavi to be mevaser the besoyos tovos Yeshuas and Nechamos, and everyone in their little life has needs of Yeshua, okay, on a small microscopic level, besides what Klal Yisrael. But he should be zocher latoiv when he solves my one problem. I hear the besur toiva; it should be latoiv. It shouldn't open up a whole new collection of more problems that are lurking in the background that we do not even know about. Have a wonderful day.